The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program this week, send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. Hopefully later on in today's program, we'll be able to get through a few more of those emails coming from you, the dear listeners, out there scattered about all over the face of this earth. Well, Germany is in a full-scale panic over the new leadership in the White House. The most influential news magazine in Germany, Spiegel, is talking about America as if it's an adversary of Germany's. That's the word that they used a few days ago. Not Vladimir Putin or ISIS or radical Islam, but Donald Trump. Donald Trump. And you can see in this piece that we'll go through here in a moment just how much everything Mr. Trump stands for is something that Merkel's administration and Germany in general opposes. We'll get into that in just a bit. There's another piece here that has to do with Germany being left out in the cold. The Trump team leaving Germany out in the cold. It says here, this is from Handelsblatt Global, as the longest-serving Western leader, Ms. Merkel has built a close working relationship with two presidents of different political stripes, George W. Bush and Barack Obama, during her 11-year tenure. The current changing of the guard in the U.S., however, has left the German government uncertain about the future course of transatlantic relations. There's so much uncertainty, not just with respect to this, but in the world today, in case you didn't notice. It says here, the German government has struggled to establish contacts with Mr. Trump's team. And it just basically explains in here how that there's just so little that they really know about Donald Trump and that they don't have these strong channels or these strong relationships. It says here, instead of expressing his concern, well, it just makes, again, brings up this this comment from his interviews last week about NATO being obsolete and so on, and then putting a 35% tariff on this or that, and how that Mrs. Merkel's team has just pretty much given up on any pretense that Mr. Trump might become more statesmanlike now that he is president. There's all the rhetoric and the build up to the inauguration last week, but now he's president. And Germany's pretty well resigned to the fact that he's going to govern similar to the way that he spoke during the campaign. And so here's this leading, going back to the Spiegel piece for a moment, here's this leading news magazine in Germany talking about Trump now as if he's an adversary. And Merkel, as this article, the previous one, brings out, she's dealt with George W. Bush and then Barack Obama on the other side. But now Germany doesn't quite know how to handle this particular president. Well, where is all of this leading? Yesterday, of course, on the program, we talked about Ezekiel 23 and the double cross, and how that, in one sense, you could argue that Trump is placing a lot of faith and trust in Germany when he's basically there saying, look, we're going to put on tariffs. We're going to slap tariffs on BMW and on Mercedes, and we're not going to keep funding NATO. Not like we once did, anyway. And you're gonna have to carry your weight, your burdens, yourselves. Well, before I switch over to this Spiegel piece, I'd like to just set up this section, this segment here, with a few excerpts from Mr. Armstrong's message. This is a message actually that he gave back in 1982, and so he's a little older, just a few years away from when he died in 1986. But this particular speech that he gave is titled "The United States of Europe is Coming." It is coming. And here's what he had to say in clip number one.
I want to tell you a little more about it, and that is the coming of the United States of Europe. Now, brethren, you've heard me mention that time and again. And I think that perhaps we don't realize what a pivotal thing that is in world history and what it means to us especially. Well, I can tell you now that the whole world is soon going to be rocked with astonishment and amazement when they find that possibly within a year now, there is a new super nation, a new superpower, possibly greater than the Soviet Union or the United States, has gone together in Europe. The prophesied resurrection of the so-called medieval Holy Roman Empire, the United States of Europe.
The United States of Europe. I mean, he talked about it over and again, as he said there. And, of course, some will look at that quote and pick out the statement in the middle that it could happen possibly within a year and think, well, he was just way off. He got it wrong. He was off on the timing. But then you put all the things that he said in that particular message. You lay it all out there. And look at what's happening today. But that statement that he made there in the middle, he says it over and again. And then he said, I think that perhaps we don't realize just how pivotal this is. How pivotal it's been in world history and what it means for us today, prophetically. We can't let the fact that we've heard this again and again and again take away from the significance. I mean, these are pivotal prophecies that are going to shake the earth. They're going to impact every human being on this earth. These are prophecies being fulfilled that will impact you and your life and your family, your community, your city, your nation. We're witnessing a dramatic transformation in the world order. Spiegel titled its piece, "Donald Trump and the New World Order." Now, this is from a few days ago, and it brings out some of the same things we've been discussing over the last few programs. But I just want to highlight here again the fact that it's coming from this lead German news magazine. I mean, this reflects the popular sentiment in Germany, certainly among the German leaders. In the view of Spiegel, I mean, Europe is under assault, and Donald Trump's leading the way. He's leading the offensive. Donald Trump and the New World Order, that's the title. And the quip reads as follows: "The inauguration of Donald Trump heralds the arrival of a new world order. The West is weaker than ever before. And rising American nationalism poses a threat both to Germany's economy, and the European Union. This Trump movement, it's posing a threat to Germany and its economy. It poses a threat to the European Union." And as far as where all of this is leading, I got into this some yesterday, it's leading to a European Union that's about to be relaunched. A new, revised version of this union that will fulfill specifically a prophecy that talks about 10 kings. 10 kings coming out of Europe. A United States of Europe, as he said there in that soundbite, headed up by Germany. And, of course, the Vatican's going to become a much more central player in all of this, too, as I mentioned yesterday. but it's a rather long article, this Spiegel piece, and basically it opens by talking about how Mr. Trump doesn't really have a clue. He doesn't know what's going on in the EU. He's not even familiar with the main players. And, well, it does kind of qualify that by saying there's probably more people on Earth that are confused by how things work in this great bureaucracy. But he mentions the interview that he had with Donald Tusk a while back, a few days ago, and how that in those interviews he had with The Bild and with The Times, that Mr. Trump kind of got a few things confused as to who is who. In any event, it then refers to the statement he made in those interviews, how that the EU is basically a vehicle for Germany, and that others should leave, others should follow the example of the UK and get out. I mean, this is huge. And it says here, for more than 60 years, the U.S. has promoted European unity. The country introduced the Marshall Plan. It supported the single European market and backed Europe's eastward expansion following the collapse of the Iron Curtain. But now, a man is entering the White House who is counting on the disintegration of the EU. I mean, could this really be happening? He would rather negotiate with each country individually, believing that would be more beneficial for America. He's going to run the U.S. like a real estate tycoon. That's what they're saying. And it says later, the situation could hardly be worse for German Chancellor Angela Merkel. I mean, it could hardly be worse. Soon the EU will be forced to make do without the U.K., the bloc's second largest economy. Right-wing populists are on the advance in Europe. And now Trump is at the helm in the U.S., a man who said in his interview this week that German Chancellor had made a catastrophic mistake. It would be difficult to formulate a challenge more directly than that. And so the question is, can Merkel's Europe hold together? Everyone knows it's Merkel's Europe. And the question is, can it hold together? Can she become a worthy adversary to Trump in approaching conflicts over trade regulations, international agreements, and the liberal, legal, and economic order that has been so important to the United States for the last six decades? Earth-shaking developments, for sure. As I said yesterday, what was unthinkable even a few months ago, all of a sudden, it's very thinkable. Can Merkel become a worthy adversary to Trump? Can she stand up to Trump, in other words? Can Germany stand up to America? Spiegel says that which had seemed inconceivable just a short time ago now appears to be a foregone conclusion. A new era is beginning, one in which the certainties that have held true for decades are suddenly no longer valued. They're suddenly vulnerable. In other words, the unthinkable is now thinkable. That's exactly the way Herbert Armstrong put it. For the most part, that is because the 45th president of the United States of America is simply not interested in the world order that has developed since 1945. So it's all Donald Trump's fault. And you can see that same kind of reasoning continuing right up through to the double cross, right up through to the invasion, the prophesied invasion, right up through to the start of World War III. Well, see, it's your fault. I mean, you're the one that disrupted and destroyed the world order. Look at what you're causing. Look at the damage that's being done. You need an adversary. He says here he's just as disinterested in the transatlantic partnership and the long-cultivated alliances with Western allies. So they're panicking on the one hand, and on the other hand, they're preparing for this epical shift, this shift that we're now witnessing, this transformation. Europe's about to be relaunched. This is Bible prophecy being fulfilled, and it's not something that we want to take for granted. It's like Mr. Armstrong said. I mean, we don't realize just how pivotal these things are. Because maybe we've heard it over and over again. It's astounding, though, to think about God, the mind of God, putting these events down on paper for us, working through his prophets and apostles of old to tell us exactly how this would all play out. It says here, for Trump, there's no such thing as friendships and alliances. He's not focused on morals. He's not concerned with dividing the world into good and evil. He does not see the use in unselfishly providing protection to allies, as the U.S. has done for decades with its soldiers stationed in Europe. The new president feels absolutely no sentimentality when it comes to the alliances that arose out of the rubble of World War II, like no other president before him. He is prepared to call them into question and even apparently to bring them to an end. Trump has no taboos. On the contrary, he loves to break them. He loves to provoke. The result is that Europe finds itself on the eve of an epical shift of the kind it hasn't seen since the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of the Eastern Bloc. It asks, is this the end of the West as we know it? It certainly is the end of the world order that was following World War II. That world order, since World War II ended, since the end of the Cold War, it's now being radically transformed. And the Spiegel piece talks about just some of the things that have been building leading up to this point. With Russia's belligerence on the world stage, annexing Crimea, there were things like this that showed us where we would be here at this moment. The fact that Putin went in there and nobody did a thing. Everyone just stood by and watched, as this article brings out. And it lays some of the blame on, as it should, on the Obama administration that didn't do anything to stop or slow down Vladimir Putin or to intervene in Syria. It says here the new president will likely continue the process that began under his predecessor, America's withdrawal from global politics. It started under Obama, big time. And now Donald Trump is in office, and he's likely to just continue on with it. It's just that he's going to formulate the withdrawal more clearly than President Obama did. It says here, Trump has pledged to carry out a relentless fight against the Islamic State, but otherwise, he is an avowed isolationist, intending to stay out of other global conflicts. Well, it talks about how he's most likely going to look to Russia for help in fighting terrorism. And, of course, that makes Europe all the more nervous as well. Being wedged in between these two power blocks, America and Russia. It says here, for Europe, such a scenario would be the largest foreign and security policy challenge since World War II. I mean, this is a security challenge for Europe, for Germany, to be sandwiched in between these two powers, the United States and Russia. For 70 years, Europe and Germany haven't had to worry about anything. America was there as the nuclear deterrent. America was there to provide that umbrella of security, that security blanket. And now that's beginning to deteriorate. It's beginning to break apart. again, all these things that started with President Obama, I mean, now they're taking on a greater sense of urgency like never before with this new Trump administration, going back to that message Herbert Armstrong gave in 1982. Notice what he said next. This is clip two.
Now, one of the great things that is urging Europe on, and perhaps the greatest thing that will cause them to hurry and get together on this, is their fear of what's going on in the Kremlin and the Soviet Union. And Andropov is frightening them, and that is going to rush them. They are losing confidence in the United States as having a military umbrella over them to protect them. And they want their own military force to protect themselves. That's the way they feel over there. Now, that is a chief incentive to unite them, and that is taking place.
And so he said that early on. He said that in 1982, and so many of God's people have since fallen away from the truth, even as this is now happening. Okay, so you fast forward. You fast forward 30 years, 35 years, whatever it is. But they have lost confidence in the U.S. as having a military umbrella over them. They can't look to America to protect them anymore. They want their own military force. That's the way they feel. That's what they're thinking. That's what they're preparing for. All of these incentives, they're in place. Everything he said in that 1982 clip. Russia on the march. Losing confidence in America. And again, we have to keep coming back to how this confluence of earth-shaking events, how is it impacting Europe? It's getting some press, like these particular pieces I'm quoting from here today, Donald Trump and the New World Order and so on. But no one sees, even with it happening, exactly the way Mr. Armstrong laid it out there, no one sees that this is going to lead to a massive military buildup. Germany's not just going to sit by and watch as Russia marches through the Baltic states. Or Germany's not just going to sit by and watch as China becomes the next world power. They're going to be in it for themselves, just like other nations. And what has been the history? What has been the history when you have the rise of German nationalism? We talked some about that yesterday. Carolyn Glick's powerful article from the other day about how it's different. The nationalism is different in Germany compared to other nations. Well, coming back to Spiegel here, it says the power vacuum that America's withdrawal is creating is particularly welcome to two countries, China and Russia, kings of the East. Russia and China. For the leadership in Beijing, the collapse of the old world order is akin to an act of God. I mean, they see this as an act of God. This is a blessing from God. And, of course, Russia loves it. Putin loves it. They have their sights set on being the next world superpower. And it talks about some of the things we've reported on here. China at the gathering in Davos recently saying it was quite happy to step in and fill the leadership vacuum. I mean, here China, with a population of 1.3 billion people and a significant amount of economic strength itself, it's presenting itself as the alternative to a world dominated by the United States. And as Spiegel asks, I mean, is that something we want? Okay, Trump has his problems, and we're worried about the direction that the U.S. is headed in. But are we prepared for a world dominated by China? A new world order dominated by China or Russia? Is Germany just going to sit back and watch it all happen? Is Germany just going to sit back on the stands and act as an innocent bystander in all of this? Germany? You know that's not going to happen. It goes on and talks about how Trump has sent out signals suggesting that Russia can be an ally, particularly in the fight against terrorism. And then he brands NATO obsolete. Putin's finally found an ally in Washington, of all places, Spiegel says. It's pretty amazing. And Europe, particularly in Germany, and there is full-scale panic. Because the world is being jolted. Europe is being jolted. And in all of this, we've got to keep our eyes on how it's impacting Europe. In all of these events, with Donald Trump, with Russia, with China, everything happening in the Middle East, what impact is it having on Europe? Because Europe, this united Europe, these 10 kings, they're going to be responsible for triggering World War III. That's what Mr. Armstrong said in that message from 1982. Of course, he said it in so many messages over the years. But here's what he said in 1982, clip 3.
Now, we're a long ways from Russia, and we are fearing the Soviet Union. The two great powers in the world are the Soviet Union and the United States. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics and the United States. And we are really fearing Russia. Let me say right here, I know of no prophecy in the Bible that speaks specifically of any war between Russia and the United States. And I've been saying for years and years that is not the way that the World War III will come. However, let me say that the resurrection of this so-called Holy Roman Empire that existed from 554 on to 1814 in Europe will trigger World War III.
That's Herbert Armstrong from 1982. Right when, I mean, that was in the midst of the Cold War. And he was saying back in the 50s and 60s, strongly, look, there's not going to be this war between Russia and the United States. There's not going to be a hot war. He was right about that. And then saying all through that Cold War period, when half of Europe was controlled by that Union, that Soviet Republic, he was saying that they're going to lose those Eastern European satellites and Europe's going to come together. Germany's going to come together. They want a political union. They want an economic union. They want a military union. And they're getting it. And the reason we keep our sights fixed on that is because they're the ones that will trigger World War III. Daniel 11, verses 41 and, verse 40 and 41, it says that at the time of the end, the European beast power, that union of 10 kings, it says they're going to come into the Middle Eastern region and overthrow many nations. And that's what really sets off worldwide conflagration. America, of course, is not even mentioned in that prophecy. And so Europe soon is going to go on the march, just like Russia's beginning to do now. And it's going to go unchecked. You can keep reading in that I kind of touched on this Friday, I believe, last week, that prophecy in Daniel 11, verse 44 says, "But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him." Tidings out of Russia and China are going to trouble the king of the north. "Therefore," the verse says, "he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many." Utter destruction. Drawing all kinds of nations into this conflagration. And as I mentioned on that show last week, that period of great tribulation God calls it Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble. The worst of it's coming upon the Israelite nations, Ephraim and Manasseh and Judah. I played this particular clip for you on Friday's show. Let me just play this again. This is from an old radio show, so it's a little bit older than the previous clips. Clip 5.
I've shown you, my friends, that a great tribulation is coming, the very next thing prophesied. First a famine and a disease epidemic, to be accompanied almost simultaneously or immediately afterwards by an invasion, and of a power that's going to rise up in Europe that is going to get the jump on the communists and will invade us and is going to start war on us even before the communists get around to doing it, because they're so slow moving. The communists would do it otherwise. And they
see, there's the two great powers, though. You have the European power, and they jump the gun, you could say. But he also refers to the communist power. The kings of the East. You have the king of the North in Europe, and then the kings of the East. That's the trouble coming upon Israel. The Israelite nations, they're all falling together. Hosea 5 and verse 5. My father wrote in the Ezekiel booklet, this devastating military attack of Hosea 5:5 will occur 13 months after the German-led European Union forms an alliance with the nations of Asia to besiege the Anglo-Saxon nations. This military attack will come from the revived Holy Roman Empire. But as he brings out there, before the attack, the two work together, these two great powers, and that was brought out in that clip I just played from Mr. Armstrong, to bring down Israel. You hear so much about the oncoming trade war or the possibility of it with China because of Donald Trump's rhetoric on trade. But don't forget about Germany. Germany is so dependent on their exports. And they're concerned about BMW and about Mercedes. They're concerned about their prosperity, their economy. And what did Mr. Armstrong say about a great economic crisis? Bringing those 10 kings together. But going back to this point about the tidings coming out of the East and out of the North, troubling the European power, so that the power unleashes its forces, going about with great fury to destroy and utterly make away many, the Bible says. My father continued in the booklet, these tidings come after the king of the south has been destroyed. So that's radical Islam. The king of the north going against the king of the south, like a whirlwind, the Bible says. And then the tidings come from the kings of the east after that king of the south is destroyed. They come from the Asian axis, my father writes. The Holy Roman Emperor will be disturbed by what the Russians and the Chinese are doing. Before this, listen to this, before this, when the tribulation began, this emperor was cooperating with the Russians and the Chinese to besiege the Anglo-Saxon nations economically. That's how the siege starts. And then it leads to all kinds of civil unrest. America's cities burning. He talks about in that same passage, in the Ezekiel booklet, a prophecy in Deuteronomy 28 having to do with that economic siege. Here are these two powers, the two mentioned in that clip I just played. You've got Europe, and then you've got the Asian communists working together. You think if we start abandoning allies, economic allies like Germany, you think if we start with that they're not going to have others to turn to? China's already stepping forward and saying, look, we want to take the lead here. We want to take the lead economically. Russia doesn't have the power economically that China and Germany have. But when you think about that prophecy, Daniel 11, Hosea 5 and verse 5, Well, continuing in this Spiegel article, it talks about here how it makes some of the same points that Handelsblatt piece made, how Germany's reached out to the Trump administration, or that it has leading up to the inauguration, trying to establish contact with the Trump team. But as Spiegel writes here, it was like a trip into a foreign world. Well, from Germany's perspective, this is a totally different America. Peter Wittig, he's one of Germany's most experienced diplomats. He had some meetings with Jared Kushner, Mr. Trump's chief advisor. And he just talks about how the progression along the way leading up to the inauguration, where Kushner was listening and taking notes and so on. And then later on, as they got closer to the inauguration, it was more blunt, more direct. It was Kushner saying to him, this German diplomat, well, what are you going to do for us? What are you going to do? And it goes on and talks about how that in the view, again, this is in the view of German diplomats, they see this new administration as one that really doesn't have a clue about Europe and European affairs. There have been quite a few reports on this interview that Donald Trump had with Playboy magazine back in 1990, and how that in that interview he was saying some of the same things. I mean, this is something from 26, 27 years ago, talking about how unfair the trade was with Germany. And he said in that interview back in 1990 that well, we're just getting robbed here. Their products are better because they're subsidized so much. And then there's no trade barriers, and so we're taken advantage of. Well, you look at Germany now today, and here are Merkel's aides. They're circulating this interview from 1990 to just try to get a read on how Donald Trump is going to govern. These are going to be some hot topics in the weeks and months ahead. Foreign trade. The two big ones, foreign trade and relations with Russia. That's what Germany's really watching for here. What's he going to do about trade? And is he serious about this alliance with Russia? Spiegel says there are many, though, who believe that the toast given in Rome this March could be among the last ones for the EU. The number of skeptics has grown even larger since it became clear that Trump would be moving into the White House. The incoming U.S. president has always viewed the EU as an alliance aimed at weakening America's economy. Now he sees an opportunity to get rid of an unwanted competitor. Officials in Brussels are concerned that one of Trump's foreign policy goals may be that of dividing the EU. And so the United States, going by the next subhead in this article, now poses a threat to Europe. That's how Germany sees Donald Trump. If he sticks to his positions, the positions he campaigned on, this poses a grave threat to Europe. And of course, what's Putin going to do with that? If Trump abandons NATO, Putin may well see that as his opportunity to advance further. And of course, in all of this, you have this renaissance in relations between the United States and Britain. What a difference. In just a year's time. I mean, last year, President Obama was over here saying that you better be pro-European, Britain, or else you're going to the back of the line. With us, on trade, you'll go to the back of the line. And now you have a new U.S. president who basically said, congratulations, Britain. I applaud you for getting out of that union. And now you can go to the front of the line. All that's happened in less than a year. And as I say, America, Britain, they're feeling pretty good about themselves right now. Britain feels like it's you know, Donald Trump's presidency has strengthened its hand at the negotiating table. Where is all this leading? Keep your eye on Germany. Spiegel refers back to that interview in 1990 where Mr. Trump back then said, I'd put a tax on Mercedes-Benz, every single one of them coming into the United States. And then it would be fair. Well, here more recently, he says, I'll put a tax on BMW. Germany sees this as a risk. I mean, it's a threat, rather, to its prosperity, to its economy. And it goes in this article and gets into some detail. Richard Palmer's talked about some of this before on Trumpet Hour, just how dependent Germany is on foreign trade. How much money Germany makes every year because of its exports. A lot more is going out than is coming in. And if Donald Trump has his way, that's going to change. And the question is, how is Germany going to respond to that? How is Germany going to respond to all of these threats taken together? It says here, it is, in short, clear that if Donald Trump does what he indicated he would, Germany and Europe would be especially hit hard. And it lists all of the crises that Europe's been facing. During her tenure, Angela Merkel has seen a fair number of crises. About 10 years ago, Lehman Brothers collapsed in the U.S. and the global economy was on the verge of collapse. 7 years later, Greek debt brought the European common currency to the brink of disintegration. And then came the refugee crisis, which threatened to cost the chancellor the support of her own party. This year, she is once again standing for re-election. If she wins, there is reason to believe that the Trump presidency will be her greatest challenge yet. How should she deal with a man who seems unconcerned about the possibility of the EU disintegrating and who threatened the German export industry with tariffs before he even took office? Pretty amazing what's happened in just the last 8, 10, 11 years. All of these crises, all of this working together. It's just accelerating these many prophecies of God. In Europe, the time for merely talking about community has passed. This is Spiegel. So what do we do? What should we do in Germany? It says it's time for a plan that combines an unavoidable deepening of foreign and security policies with greater national autonomy in other political areas. I got a kick out of this particular statement later where it says if Merkel stays strong on those issues, it will become more difficult for the new strongman in the White House to carry out his attacks on the liberal order at home. That's Germany's leading news magazine complaining about the so-called American strongman. How about that? Because a strongman is about to come out of Germany. A strongman is coming. A strongman in the White House to carry out his attacks? He's the adversary? He's the villain? Well, he's certainly not a perfect leader by any means. But keep your eyes fixed on Germany, on what's happening in Europe, all of these elections, because Europe's about to be relaunched. And it's going to come together, a smaller version, under the leadership of the Daniel Eight Man. Spiegel concludes by saying Trump is the end of the world as we know it. And it goes on to say that it could get worse than what it is even right now. Now, the thing is, we heard, so many of us, we heard Mr. Armstrong mention this, talk about this, write about this time and time and time again. But don't let that repetition, take away from how pivotal this moment is right now. One last quote from that 1982 message or clip. This is clip four.
I have known for years, and you've heard me proclaim again and again and again, that the United States of Europe is coming. They're going to unite 10 nations in Europe. And the Vatican will be on top of the heap. Why has it not happened? 49 years have gone by. At last I can tell you that it is, all the pieces are falling into place now, all of a sudden. Well, in Europe, there are many nations, they speak different languages. They're divided by various languages. They're divided by different national aspirations and national patriotisms and different currencies. They have the German mark, the French franc, the English pound, and the lira in Italy, and the peso or whatever it is in Spain. They have different kind of currency, different kind of money. Now they have gotten together in an economic system. That's been going on now for a good many years. The EEC, or the European Economic Community. But that is only something that knocks down tariff barriers for the for international trade among the nations of Europe. But what they want is political union. What they want is one military force. What they want is one great world power.
That's what they want. And that's what they're getting. And he said there 49 years have gone by. 49 years have gone by. And why is it being delayed? Why is it taking as long as it's taking? Well, God has his purposes. But the pieces are falling into place. All of a sudden. It's all happening so fast. It's all coming together. So fast. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. When we come back, we'll get through a few emails that have come in from you over the last week. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
For an easy-to-read, information-rich news brief, join the growing readership of the Trumpet Weekly. Now you can enjoy all the top news stories from the previous week condensed into a report combining the commentary, analysis, and reporting you've come to expect from thetrumpet.com sent directly to your email. Subscribing is completely free. Simply visit the Trumpet Weekly section of thetrumpet.com to subscribe by email today.
The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
An email here from a listener in response to yesterday's show. Trump puts Europe on notice. It says here, American nationalism is often under the accusation of being the same as the Nazism, which has been seen in Germany by those radical leftists who are very anti-American within our own country. However, they do not know what they speak of and would have more of a tendency themselves to follow in the violent footsteps of even Nazi movements. Another one here in response to Monday's program, Donald Trump and the Jeroboam End. It says there is an irony in it being said that America will be great again while turning into isolationism and protectionism and doing the opposite of what its role as a great superpower was. Somehow retreat and withdrawal are to make this country great again? What thing we may build without defending them are only more targets for our enemies and property to steal. This one here, more of a general response. Quite a few of these next few are just in response to the program in general. This from one of our female listeners. It says, I agree with one of our fellow listeners. You should extend the show to last for 2 hours. You have much more to say. I do? You have much more to say. 1 hour is not enough. Another one from a man in Colorado says, I love the show. I've never missed an episode. I listen to all the podcasts via Podcast Addict while cleaning a big department store in the wee hours of the morning. I just wanted to say I can't get enough. I, too, wish your show was at least 2 hours. I could listen all day. So some very nice feedback there from some of you that actually would like to hear more of the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Another one here from a male listener says, nowhere else are we going to find such cutting-edge analysis of our entire world and of the history taking place today. All the knowledge that we receive from each and every program is just priceless. The words of eternal life are just blasted from this radio station all over the world, and all you guys want is just a little feedback. So I'll try to keep up with my weekly assignment henceforth. Please keep up the good work. We're all behind you guys, listening and supporting. Another one here, it says, I've been listening since summer. I've been studying all the literature for almost 3 years now and recently contacted a minister. It's an honor and a responsibility to have been led to the true church of God. Like Mr. Armstrong said, this is dangerous truth. With all the literature plus the radio shows, it gives one true confidence, hope, and faith in God's word and understanding prophetic events. The stage is set. I can't wait to see the next scene. This is my second email. Even if this is not read, I'm sticking to my assignment. Yes, we do have some regulars for sure, a handful of people that do send in comments regularly. We appreciate that. But we need to get some more of you newbies involved. Some of you that have been listening, but have, as some have said to me face to face, I've wanted to write but haven't gotten around to it. Now is your opportunity to send us some feedback. This one here says, thank you again for always helping me and giving me much needed correction and instructions in correct living. Thank you. Thank you for all the wonderful fruits that are shared with me and all the beautiful smiles and joy that inspires and uplifts me daily. Another one here from a man in Arkansas. It says here, this is the one I read a while back, or paraphrased, the one kidding about adding another hour to the show, and his response, as you heard earlier, has provoked a few others to send in a similar reaction. It says, I love the show. Another one here from Colorado. I just read that. This one here, a woman in California, says the hatred toward Donald Trump is amazing and frankly quite sad as we see what the leftist liberals are doing to this country. It says even some of the commentators are starting to notice the deep hatred in this country toward the Trump administration, and they wonder where it's coming from. And then she goes on to paraphrase some of the things that she's heard from commentators who are alarmed by what's happening. And then finally she says, of course, we know why this is happening, and it's only going to get worse. And as much as President Trump tries, America will never be great again. And you've let us know the reasons why. This one here comes from a lady listener over in Massachusetts, the northeast of the United States there. It says, I'm so thankful to God for the gift that KPCG is, among other things. It is a comfort, a teacher, a friend. I often think about how thankful I am just to hear the voices of God's people and then to hear them speaking about so many different topics that we need to hear, learn, and understand, like poring over the rest of the pictures, articles, and other information that comes out of headquarters through the Trumpet or Twitter or KPCG, or PCOG rather. Through KPCG, we can glean so much about life and how to live. Setting aside the purely spiritual instruction for a moment, which is unquestionably the most important benefit of this broadcast, there is still more. From the mouths of God's people, we can learn not only about geopolitics, history, and economics, but we can also learn more subtle things about what is and what's not funny, how to discuss certain controversial topics in the right way, how to get along with others, what parts of our world, nations, or cultures are good and worth celebrating, and which things are simply of the world. We can learn about some of the aspects of our world that warrant a bit of our attention, such as arts, entertainment, sports, and literature, and then how to balance these pursuits against what is truly important. It says, finally, we can learn so much about balance simply by looking at the list of the shows that are made available. So that comes from a very appreciative listener. Well, we appreciate you listeners as well. And are very happy, as I said a moment ago, to get any feedback that you'd like to provide. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this brings us to the end of another Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Send us an email, td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.